One of the toughest challenges for Christians today is to find a good church, a place where the gospel is powerfully preached, where worship is reverent, and the people have a genuine love for one another. Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, and I invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Sunday school classes for all ages, including adults. For more information, visit our website at christurc.org. That's christurc.org.
Building our house on the rock. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
But you be watchful in all things, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Well, we on Abounding Grace Radio today are tackling and still continuing our study of the office of the pastor, and particularly today looking at the pastor who is called to endure suffering in the ministry of the gospel. We're thankful again to have you with us and to have Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, with us as we look at, again, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the office of the pastor. We invite you to go to the website at agradio.org to explore that website, to learn who we are, what we believe, many resources there for you. So do please make use of that website at agradio.org. Well, last time, Mike, we looked at this really powerful calling of the pastor, the central calling of the pastor in 2 Timothy chapter 4, to preach the word in season and out of season. And it's a serious call. It's an important call, because that was prefaced with, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing. Therefore, because this judgment's coming, you've got to preach the word, Timothy. You've got to give yourself to this. And then we looked at, Mike, some of the challenges, and maybe it's helpful to kind of overview that again. But why is this so hard? Well, he tells us here, because people are not going to put up with this. People are not going to want this. They're not going to put up with the truth. But instead, they're going to want short stories. They're going to want to hear fables. They're going to want to have their ears tickled. And we unpacked some of that last time, which really raises the seriousness of the challenges of the gospel ministry.
Right. Remember, this is the one thing above all things that Timothy is to do. He is to preach the word faithfully. Remember that 2 Timothy is written at the end of the Apostle Paul's life. It's at his second imprisonment in Rome. It's at the end of 30 years of ministry. And he knows he's about to die. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. And he wants to write to his faithful friend, Timothy, who is a young pastor at the church of Ephesus, and tell him, look, Timothy, above everything else, you be faithful to proclaim the word of God, because it's only the word of God that is the power to salvation. It's only the gospel that gives us the power to be transformed in the mind by the renewal of the mind and conformed to the image of Christ. Nothing else has the ability to do that. Nothing else has the ability to raise the dead spiritually to life. So proclaim this word, but not all will receive the word. And in the proclamation of that word, there will be opposition. There will be discouragement. There will be spiritual opposition that constantly opposes the minister, the proclaimer, the faithful ambassador of the king's message. There will even be people within the church. There will be wolves that climb into the church, as Paul said back in Acts 20 when he said goodbye to the Ephesian elders. Timothy was among them. He said, I know that after I depart, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, seeking to lead others away. There will be opposition from the outside. And Paul even lists some of these people in this book who had opposed him. So he's telling Timothy, look, do the right thing. Preach the word, but be prepared to suffer. Suffering is an ordinary part of the pastorate.
Right, and you know, it goes hand in hand with that calling. That means, Mike, that this particular choice, and it is a pastoral choice, when he sits down every week, what is he going to do when he comes to Sunday? What is his plans? What is he setting out a meal of? Well, he's sitting down, and is he thinking, is he going to give and interact with and preach the word of God or not? And this all gets to the calling here that Paul specifically gives at the end of this, is what we're focusing on today, to endure suffering. In other words, this is not going to be easy. And I think that's one of the reasons he says up front here that I charge you to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. And I've often thought, what does that in season and out of season really mean? Well, there are seasons when the church is going to flourish, the ministry is going to be very well received, it's going to go well, but then there are going to be seasons when that's not true. There are going to be seasons when it's really hard. And I think Paul has surrounded this whole text by discussing the dangerous seasons that come on a church. Attacks upon the authority of the scripture, the inerrancy of the scripture, attacks in lives of people, how they're living, and the church is forced to deal with that. You got a whole host of things that assault the ministry of the gospel, the ministry of the word. And the temptation of the pastor when you're out of season.
Right.
The temptation of the pastor when you're out of season is to check out.
Right.
Or to downplay the responsibility, or to not contend earnestly for the faith once delivered for the saints, to forget what is the primary goal of the pastor, which is to bring the word of God to people so that they may be saved.
Right. Yeah. He tells Timothy, be ready. Be ready all the time. It doesn't matter what the season is in the church or the season with us personally. We go through our own personal seasons of sometimes we're more motivated than we're not. And so we have to always be ready to do what God has commanded us to do as pastors and bring the word of God, because that's what they need. The thing is when we do that faithfully, not everyone is going to like us. When we were called to reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching, not everybody's going to appreciate being exhorted or reproved or hearing what God's word has to say. But we have to be faithful. The authority is not in us. The authority is in the word of God. We're merely ambassadors bringing that word. But it does mean that there will be some opposition when we do that.
Right. And I, you know, we're all driven today, looking at the results, looking at the stats, and you know, pastors easily fall into that trap. You know, how well is everything being received? And the Lord is not ever calling us to worry about the results.
Right.
The results are His. I mean, the Holy Spirit, we know in the preaching, has to break through a heart and give life to that heart so that they can even hear that word.
That's right.
But we are to be ambassadors of that word and be faithful in delivering it. And I think this gets to the crucial issue today of how the apostle described the ministry. I mean, when he described the Christian ministry, and obviously these were apostles set apart to be an example, a special kind of an example, so that people would never forget what this is all about. But think about what he describes, Mike, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and the day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the sea, in perils in the wilderness, in the sea, among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who's weak? And I'm not weak. You know,
right.
You know, we don't understand this about the ministry, especially in a North American prosperous context. I mean, I just saw the other day, the Oxygen Channel is about to run a program called Millionaire Pastors of LA.
Yeah, ridiculous. Unbelievable.
You know, and how does that even fit? I mean, it should be evident to everyone listening.
False prophets
and teachers. But notice what I just read, that the ministry is going to bring about these kinds of conflicts and sufferings.
Right. That's absolutely right, because we're called to be conformed to the image of Christ. And the pattern of Christ's life was suffering now, glory later in the resurrection. And every Christian is being conformed to that same pattern, which is why we shouldn't be surprised when we suffer for the name of Christ, when hard things happen to us in life. It's part of life in this fallen world, and especially when we suffer for the name of Christ, it's part of bearing the cross of Christ, being baptized into His name. And as a minister, the same is true. And think about how many times Paul reminds Timothy of that. You know, Timothy is a young pastor, young being under the age of 40 in the first century world. He is prone to physical illness. We know that. He's very timid. We know that. He has some opposition, some people who despised him because he was younger. We know that there are people from the outside that persecuted. And so he's a little afraid. He's a little scared. Paul wants to tell Timothy now at the end of Paul's life, look, you're going to have to suffer. This is part of the pastorate. And notice how many times he says it over and over again in this last letter. In chapter 1, he says, verse 8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Some people were ashamed that Paul, this great apostle, was in prison and not on a show like the Million Dollar Pastors of LA. He says, but share in suffering for the gospel and to do it by the power of God. That's how we suffer rightly, is by the power of God, but we suffer for the gospel. He says again in verses 11 and 12, he says, I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. If you are a preacher and a teacher, you're going to suffer. If you're not suffering for the name of Christ as a pastor, then are you proclaiming the word of God faithfully? There should be some opposition, not to you and your agenda, not to you and your personality, but to the message that you're bringing in the law and the gospel. He says again in chapter 2, share in suffering. Verse 3, as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. We're to suffer. Again, in verses 8 and 9, remember Christ Jesus, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering. And then he says again in chapter 3, verse 12, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, not will be happy or will be blessed with money and wealth or health, but will be persecuted. And then finally, in chapter 4, in that great final commission that he gives him, he says, endure suffering, verse 5. So it's a normal part of the pastorate.
Right, and we have to understand that about the pastorate. We have to understand the spiritual attacks that are coming upon the pastorate, what he's facing, what he's subject to. I've always said that, you know, whatever the sins that the congregation struggles with, you can expect that the pastor is going to get hit with. He's going to struggle. He's going to have to fight. And this is exactly what the apostle is calling Timothy to do, to realize about the ministry and to be faithful in the call. You know, I found a quote the other day by John Calvin, and maybe we can interact with this for a minute, but I thought it was a really helpful quote in light of this whole concept of suffering in the ministry, which is so foreign to us today. But here's the quote. The life of the Christian, it is true, is a perpetual warfare. For whoever gives himself to the service of God will have no truce from Satan at any time, but will be harassed with incessant disquietude. It becomes, however, ministers of the word and pastors to be standard bearers, going before others. And certainly there are none that Satan harasses more, that are more severely assaulted, or that sustain more numerous or dreadful onsets. That man, therefore, is mistaken, who girds himself for the discharge of his office and is not at the same time furnished with courage and bravery for contending. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really helpful because it really, to me, that demonstrates a faithful shepherd who is contending, who is doing right. his calling, who is fighting. You can expect him to be harassed.
Right.
Satan leaves alone those. I mean, if you want to look at the outward numbers and the outward success and all those sort of things, remember, Satan's not worried about them.
Right.
Satan's going after and harassing the pastor who is faithfully doing his job. And we have to remember that today about the pastor. And as we've said before on the program, Mike, if you have a pastor doing this, you need to really encourage him because he is being harassed.
Right. And we need to think about the ways in which he's harassed. You know, it's not just harassed by sin. We all are harassed by the pollution in our heart and the various temptations and the various besetting sins. Certainly your pastor is harassed with that. But he's also harassed, if he's faithfully doing his job, undoubtedly with a lot of discouragement. You know, the minister who is faithfully grinding it out, bringing the word of God in love to his people, preaching the word of God, and he doesn't see the church exploding and bursting at the seams. And, you know, maybe for him, a large church is 200 people. Well, in our day and age, you know, a large church is 2,000 people or 10,000 people. And, you know, we need to remember that the size of a church is no indication of its faithfulness. it may be that a lot of people go there because they're being entertained because of the things that Paul says in chapter 4, where they're being led astray into myths. Myths such as, well, God exists to give you your best life right now. Meanwhile, the minister who is faithfully proclaiming the books of the Bible, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, bringing them as a faithful shepherd, a good workman, he may be greatly discouraged. And then that's compounded when there are problems in the church, which every church is going to have, when there are members who don't want to reconcile, when there are marriages that are breaking apart, when there are people who go astray in their sin or people who apostatize. The minister sometimes, he's discouraged and thinks, is this even worth it? Am I even doing the right thing? Maybe I'm not called. And Satan is right there to play on those thoughts and to bring him further into discouragement.
Right. And the pastor then, through all these things, is called to be an example. I mean, as we face these things, one of the great questions then is, how do you deal with pastoral discouragement and depression? It's right. A real problem. I don't know the stats. I've looked at them before, but I think it's a shocking number of pastors who, out the course of their ministries, don't make it.
Right.
That don't make it in the ministry because of the hardship, discouragement, and depression that they never anticipated when they went in.
Right. Yeah. There's different surveys, but most of them indicate that more than half of people who go into the ministry don't remain in the ministry.
Right. And so you have to right there realize that yeah, I mean, there you see the heart of the attack mm-hmm. and how serious the warfare is. But, you know, I've always thought Psalm 13 provides a good perspective for the pastor. And also this applies to the Christian and how he deals with the hardships of life. But notice this: how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? There's the struggle. I mean, you expect to see more. You expect to see more progress. I mean, I think we all would say we're tired of the progress we make in our own lives. And pastors can be very frustrated with the progress in their congregations. It's discouraging. The sin that overtakes people in the life of the church, where it can lead, what it can do, what it can happen. And notice how the psalmist here is struggling with something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say I've prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I've trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I like that because when he looked within himself, these things are overwhelming. But just like Paul is telling Timothy, we trust in the mercy and salvation of the Lord. We don't always see the results of that right now.
No, we don't.
Rarely do we see the real fruit. But Paul talks about at the end here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that he knows a crown is reserved for him. And
right.
Then he says this: there's a crown reserved not just for me,
right,
but for all of those
right. Right.
who are his, and that this reward is going to be given at the end. And so that's why Paul says, we endure this, we do our job, we labor faithfully in the good seasons and the bad seasons, knowing that the results belong to the Lord, but also knowing that we're bearing all things for the sake of the elect, because God is saving his sheep through this, and God will not lose one through this. And we have to be reminded of that.
That's true. I mean, he's doing his work, whether or not we see it. I mean, we, as pastors, we do get to see some great things. We see people coming to faith in Christ. We get to see people reconciling.
Right.
We get to see marriages come back together. But we also see the ugliness, and sometimes even people who reconcile, maybe years later, they break apart again, or other things that happen. We can't bank everything or put all our hopes on the successes that we get to see, people slaying their sins. We ultimately have to look to the fact that God is going to reward us in the end, and we're coming to glory, and my job is simply to be faithful until then. You know, it's really like watching a tree grow. You don't see a tree grow when you watch it in the backyard one afternoon, but over time, it
that's
does
right.
grow, and that's what God is doing in his church. Our job is to be faithful in bringing water to that tree day in, day out. It's ordinary, it's plain, it's boring at times, you know, the church services, but what's being given is necessary, is imperative, is absolutely important for that tree to grow. And the same is happening when the pastor brings the word of God to God's people each week.
Right. And, you know, it's fascinating how he ends this epistle in 2 Timothy 4, right after he says that my departure, my time of ministry is over. I've come to the end of my ministry. I've fought the fight. The crown is laid up. Then he says this, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me. Having loved this present world and departed for Thessalonica, Cretans for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak. He wants his coat, you know, the books. And then he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he's greatly resisted our words. And then he says this, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me.
Yeah.
So that the message, here it is again. Here's what he comes back to always. He strengthened me so that the message might be preached
right.
fully through
That's
me.
That's the point. Right.
And that the Gentiles might hear. And right. I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me in every work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. And that's the encouragement.
That's it.
He this word has to go out.
Right.
There's an urgency. That's why we're here.
And that's why we suffer and endure all things for the sake of the elect. Right. It's for that very purpose.
So Mike, I think we have a general understanding here as we've looked at these passages that the pastor is going to suffer. He's called to endure the suffering. The ministry of the word is going to bring this. But maybe it would just be helpful for the listener. I mean, especially if we have listeners who are in specific churches and they haven't realized this about the ministry. I mean, most parishioners don't take time to think a lot about what the pastor faces. Maybe we could break down a little bit what we go through.
I mean,
maybe you could tell us, let's just break into that. What is one of the struggles that you have faced, Mike, in the ministry? As a pastor?
Well, we already mentioned the fact that you can be discouraged when you see your numbers small compared to the numbers that are huge in a church that maybe isn't being as faithful in the King's message. But there are other ways. You know, another way that's easy for a pastor to become discouraged is sometimes to expect too much out of his parishioners, to expect them to be sinless and perfect all the time and to always be slaying their sins in the spirit perfectly. And then oftentimes when we can, one indication of our discouragement is when we turn too much to the law and think that if I bring them more law and tell them more about their sin and more about what they should be doing, which we need to hear, don't get me wrong, we need to be confronted with our sin and we need to hear the law, and that's a faithful part of the minister's ministry. But if we only focus on that without realizing that the law cannot give life, only the gospel can, and that if we want to see more obedience, proclaim the gospel, then we can easily be launched into discouragement. Our joy and our love needs to be in Christ and his message, and we need to keep our eye on the ball, which is simply proclaim the gospel. Pastors, if you want to see your sheep slay their sins more, walk in more obedience, be more grateful, share the gospel, be people of prayer, then proclaim to them the person and work of Christ more and more and more.
Right. And that's helpful. That gets into something I was going to say. You know, I think often, you know, I have a lot of books in my study, Mike, and I read about these great revivalistic periods of the past. And, you know, everyone talks about these movements of the Spirit. And, you know, I once heard a professor who I greatly...
Most of those discourage you, by the way, those stories.
Most of those do. Well, but, you know, I once heard a professor say, you know, he has his theory on why we don't see... you know, those kind of dramatic events in our day. And it's because the church has little confidence in the means that he has given yeah. himself to accomplish that. And therefore, we're trying so hard to have all these things to do, all these programs, all these ways to get people in, all these ways to make the church living and active and vibrant. And have we really listened to God himself
right.
in what he's told us is his way? Why would we expect him to bless it in any kind of meaningful way
right.
if we're not honoring the means he's told us to give? And so I think one of the things I've had to remember in the life of the ministry is to always to go back to that. Sometimes I haven't seen the progress, and me or obviously parishioners that I want I haven't seen things happen that I want. I've tried to force that myself. Mm-hmm. And then I've got to go back and realize and remember the basic calling that the Lord has given me, which is right here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. You keep your head down and you preach that word right. in season, out of season. You do that. You commit it to prayer. You give it to Him. And the Spirit of God is the that's one right. that holds the human heart.
Yeah, that's one way out of discouragement is to be confident in the message we preach.
Right.
And be confident that the Spirit is going to do His work, even if we don't see it. Keep bringing water to the tree, even if, you know, that tree doesn't look like it's any bigger and it still looks kind of funny and everything isn't the way I'd like it to be. You keep bringing water and be confident that the water is going to do the work that it is intended to do. That we need to have confidence in the message.
And I think the parishioner needs to realize this, you know, that a pastor who cares to do that, and who is unwavering and committed in preaching the word in season and out of season. It's Romans 10. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. God has given you a gift. Mm. And thank the Lord for that. You know, praise the Lord for what He's doing in working and giving you His message of salvation through His servant.
Amen.
Well, we're thankful you've taken time to tune into Abounding Grace Radio today. As always, we invite you to go to the website at agradio.org, download the podcast, explore that website, map to churches there, and you can even write to us, ask us questions. We'd be glad to take them up on these Friday sessions of Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Mike Brown. Well, thanks for taking the time out of your day to tune into Abounding Grace. May the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Giving to every man an answer for the hope that lies within us. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our pastor, Chris Gordon.